I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, we're talking the Big D with Professor Kelly Murray. And oh my gosh, I learned things today. So get your notepad and pen ready and enjoy this conversation. You're going to help your clients in a whole different way. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. If you've never heard of Follow Up Boss, you're going to love it. It's going to get you organized in a way that will actually impact your business for profitability and for better excellence with those you're serving. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. I appreciate you coming on the show. So tell my audience a little bit about who you are and where you're located and a little bit of the backstory.
Well, my name is Kelly Murray. I'm the co-founder of DivorceThisHouse.com along with Wendy Wassell. I've had my Illinois law license for decades at this point. I've been on the faculty of a top 20 law school since 2005. But since 2007, I've been doing something even more colorful, and I'll take a play on your podcast, which has such a great title. So I focus my legal scholarship on crazy shit in real estate litigation for family disputes.
I think
that's a more colorful version of what I do.
We'll work on a licensing deal for the name. I'll use my
law professor version when I'm not on your podcast, but you brought out some more interesting color. But honestly, what gets litigated is what folks are really upset about. And that's where there is a lot of crazy shit going on, but also legal concepts that everyone learned in pre-licensing. So they may not be interesting on the textbook page, but they are fascinating when you see what could have been prevented if more real estate professionals and mortgage professionals had been involved earlier. So that's what I focused 15 years of research on.
Well, I mean, you bring up a fascinating point in your little description there, one little line where people litigate what they're really emotional about. And I think we forget that sometimes because we think of litigation as the law and this person did this person wrong. But at the core of all that is emotion, and nobody heard me and nobody's listening to me. And then it does spin out into the actual law, but it's always at the core of it, wild emotion. And I'm curious, in your 15 years of researching how all this stuff works, was there a catalyst at the beginning that got you to say, holy smokes, I really want to look at this more in depth?
It started with a question, and the question was brilliant because I didn't know the answer. And it actually was posed to my co-founder, Wendy Wassell. So a woman was divorcing. He was keeping the family business. He had his next person ready to get married again. She knew the bulk of her assets coming out of this marriage were from the house. He wanted to fire sale it. She knew she had to prepare it for sale so she could sell it in less time for more money. And she asked, who should we hire as our realtor? We need someone who specializes in divorce. Now, when Wendy posed that question to me, I didn't know what that realtor should know. And I thought I would find something. I thought, oh, this will be a workshop. This will be a seminar. And it's turned into 15 years of multi-state legal research because as I researched from the litigation perspective, so I have a unique perspective. Yes, local examples, and they're really crazy and important to have as well. But I focus on how the courts handle these crazy family real estate disputes. And it's divorce, it's probate, it's tax, it's bankruptcy. And the stories were so shocking. The OMG, I was calling Wendy every 15 minutes, finding something else. So it never gets boring because really crazy stuff is going on that, for our perspective, could be prevented with more training with real estate agents and more training with lenders working together to help those lawyers prevent a lot of this craziness. Because sometimes it either can't be fixed, it can't be easily fixed, or it can't be inexpensively fixed. People are just stuck with a major real estate / financial mistake that could prevent them from buying a house in the future. Nobody wants that. So we want to encourage preserving homeownership eligibility. So I find it fascinating what still goes on, even when folks have lawyers at their mediation, things that go on at trial that get appealed, because you can appeal either of those things. So just having a lawyer in the room doesn't mean you're safe. You would think it would, but it doesn't if you didn't do your house due diligence beforehand.
I'm just making a note on that phrase, preserving home ownership eligibility, because I love that. So are you saying you can actually appeal a divorce settlement? Did you say that?
Okay, so here's the key fact. My classes would be so much different if this were not the key legal fact. Property division is permanent. You can appeal it and you will probably lose. And that's why I started my research there, because I thought, all right, these folks knew going in they were probably going to lose the appeal, and they still appealed. That's that heightened emotion. Something really crazy went on that they were willing to spend two more years of litigation, legal fees, and if they lose, they may have to pay the other side's legal fees. So it's not a small endeavor. And that's, so property division is permanent. How do people still proceed with the, what are they so upset about? I mean, that's really what I was focusing on. And sometimes they win, but most of the time they lose, and they're just told what they were told at the trial level. You're not going to get what you want. But you could have if you had the information before you made some binding agreements. So the other key fact, property division is permanent. Guess when it becomes permanent? At your first mediation.
Oh, so long before the divorce is actually done?
Absolutely. So that first mediation, and mediators are trained to get people to that easy yes, builds momentum. You know, it's a negotiation strategy. What's the first yes they go for? The house, when someone has to keep it for the kids, or they already know what they want to do with the house, they'll start there. As soon as each spouse agrees, mediator writes it down and they both sign, even in handwriting, that's a binding contract.
Hey, friend, let me ask you a question. Do you ever wish that you had a YouTube channel that brought in actual real life potential clients in your marketplace just from simple videos made at home on your iPhone or Droid? And then what would that business actually look like if there was an automated marketing system that worked for you 24/7 without you spending a ton of money on ads? Well, my friend Karen Carr, she's amazing, wants to help you. She will help you fill your pipeline with real live neighbors that are dying to work with somebody that they would love. And that would be you. And then you're going to love them because they love you. And it's a giant win-win for everybody. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you her next virtual event is coming up. It's called Video Boss Bootcamp. I've taken it. It's amazing. It is 5 days. So you're going to have to carve out time, 5 consecutive days. And what will happen in that virtual experience is a shortcut to using YouTube and succeeding on YouTube, getting in front of more potential prospects and having them ready to hire you when they are ready to buy and sell. Now, by the end of that week, you're going to walk away with an actual blueprint, actual physical instructions to show you what your YouTube channel should look like and what it needs to be a client attraction magnet. Now, along with handing over the exact steps for this strategy, I mean, I'm not lying to y'all. She'll give you every single thing you need to do. Karen's actually going to answer your questions because some of you may not absorb it. She's going to hold your hand through the process and along the way, motivate you to making these simple videos to bring you paying clients. Best part, this 5-day training is only $27, $27. So go to videobossagent.com/LeeBrown to sign up today and save your seat and save some money too. 5 days of training plus Q&A with the queen, checklist, cheat sheets, and everything to help you get busy implementing. I'm telling y'all. And by the way, the private community of people that are learning together, also wildly powerful. Because in addition to that community, you get 12 months of replays in case you want to watch them again. And if you didn't hear her, Karen actually spoke at the National Association of Realtors Convention in November. Her room was jam-packed and the people left jam-packed with information. I mean, did you see the line of people waiting to ask questions? You don't even have to wait in that line. Pay $27 at videobossagent.com/LeeBrown and you can talk to Karen while you're taking the program. So get all your questions answered, get your strategy in place, build your business. And by the way, this starts March 20th. So get registered now. She will cap the registration and you don't want to have any FOMO. Videobossagent.com/LeeBrown. Reserve your seat. And then tell me what you learned.
Now, back to this amazing
episode.
Okay, so obviously in real estate, when I get a call from somebody who is watching their relationship dissolve, a lot of them start off in that mediation space of, oh, we're going to be the ones that come out of this as friends. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, no, you're not. You're not. It's not going to happen because we watch it change so quickly from we can do this to I want to burn you to the ground. So what percentage of people actually make it through the process in mediation before they go the lawyer screaming at each other route? Do you know any numbers on that? How How frequently can somebody survive mediation?
Well, mediation is common. Real estate is mediated. That's every state. So trial is what you've seen on television where the judge decides everything. And usually everyone has a lawyer or should have a lawyer and the judge is deciding. Mediation, you mentioned it earlier, gives everyone a voice. That's why it's such a great alternative dispute resolution tool. So most real estate is mediated. And how do I know this? Because I've trained judges in over 5 states, 3 states, twice, invitations to go back. And I asked the judges, right, what house issues are you seeing and what evidence are you seeing? And the two shocking answers were they're seeing low information to no information, even at trial. Wait a minute, you're going to trial on a house issue and you're bringing hardly any evidence? So the reason why this is so crazy and gets so messed up is because it's a low information moment about the house. Everyone assumes she knows the house, you know, all the issues. Oh, she's lived in it for 12 years. Of course, she knows it, but she doesn't know about the IRS tax lien, or she doesn't know that the roof repair was simply someone hammering shingles back up when it really needed to be replaced based on the insurance money. You know, so that's the Clue insurance claims history shenanigan. So there's all kinds of crazy things.
The information you're referencing is all the liens on the house, all the mortgages, all the repairs, the ages of systems, the things that a realtor would ask when they go to the house. Of course, we know they're low information because they never know that for us. But the judge is frustrated by that information, too. Why does the judge want that information? Is this something that is to expose the full story, to find out what they know and don't know about each other? Or where are they going with this?
This is what I discovered early on. The documents it takes to purchase a house from a third party with a mortgage, you know, tall stack of documents, are mostly missing in divorce. Now, wait a minute. You're equalizing. When you want to keep the house, the other spouse, you have to buy out their equity. And what do we know now from CoreLogic and Harvard? Fourth quarter confirmation the past few years, America is 4 times more likely to be equity rich or at least equity positive. We're not seeing short sale and we're seeing far fewer foreclosures because there's money to pay back the bank. So folks, it's harder to keep the house because you have to borrow even more money to buy out a much higher equity position than even 5 years ago, you know, given the recent appreciation of houses. So the information, the reason why a judge would need it is judges, when they're asked to decide what's the house value, what's disposition, who's going to keep the house, or will the house be forced to be sold? The judge needs evidence. If there's no evidence, the judge will force them to do a few things, but it's not what a real estate agent would do, for example, as the listing agent or as the buyer's agent. And that's how I started my training 15 years ago, realizing most of those documents and most of those professionals involved in buying a house are missing when you divorce with that same house. They're needed. All of it's needed and more because you're making a permanent decision as soon as you go to that first mediation.
So is your training going to helping realtors prepare a client for that moment in front of the judge so they have a full packet from their realtor at that point? Or where do you see the education gap being from the brokerage side?
The first step is getting involved earlier in the timeline, much earlier. So traditionally, the mortgage professional isn't consulted until after the divorce is over. She agreed to keep the house. She agreed to refinance 6 months ago, and she agreed to do that after the divorce is over. And what happens when he denies the refinance?
Okay, what does happen if they deny the refinance?
Then she's paying on a marital mortgage and they're not financially divorced. I see this all the time. And
So, okay.
They're not financially divorced.
So here's the dot timeline. They're separated, not legally divorced. They come to a property agreement, which is permanent, as you said. In that agreement, she has to refi the house to get him off of it. She drags her feet because she don't want to.
Or the people just traditionally wait. Everyone just assumed you should just wait till the divorce is over. From underwriting perspective, on the mortgage side, the underwriter needs to know what the support obligation is. You know, if she needs to use alimony or child support as income, qualifying income, that's why it's more difficult to refinance during the divorce. Here's the problem. No one checked to see if she qualified early on. Her first meeting is far too late.
She was told to refi. And so then the divorce is final. So they are legally no longer married. Then she applies, but she doesn't qualify. So she still makes the original mortgage payment. He's still on the mortgage.
Right. And what happens if she doesn't make the original mortgage payment? We know both credit scores. And according to a FICO study from 2011, The biggest damage to your credit score is the first 30 days late. I've seen in court opinions where the court writes, well, she was only 30 days late. There's no only about it. That's the biggest drop in your credit score. You will keep damaging your credit score if you continue to be late, but that first 30 days is the biggest damage.
Some realtors do more business than others, and it's not just their great looks and their charm and amazing hair. It's their follow-up, y'all. People, on average, forget the marketing message after 16 days. Follow-up Boss will plug into the system you're using, and yes, they integrate with over 250 different programs to help you get organized with your past clients and with those neighbors that frankly should be your future clients. And if you go to followupboss.com/crazy, you get a 30-day free trial to go see how this works for your business. I can promise you, the people who forgot you didn't mean to, they want to hear from you. So go to followupboss.com/crazy and you'll suddenly figure out why all these top producers in the market are getting more business. It has to do with organization and detail work, and you can get there too. followupboss.com/crazy for your 30-day free trial. Check it out. Let me know how it goes for you. Okay, so this is wild. I never knew this about the timeline because I'm still married to my first husband. He hates
it. Very good. We're not creating divorces. We're making something terrible less terrible. That's my approach.
So the best solution, I get a call that says, we're dissolving. Does my mortgage professional need to go with me to that meeting and say, let's talk very briefly about how we make this thing smoother down the road? Is that
that's the first step. And that's why we teach real estate agents the divorce real estate niche. We teach mortgage professionals the divorce mortgage niche. And we're the only company that teaches both how to work together to work with the right lawyers. So the key here is to work with lawyers and earn repeating referrals so that you're involved earlier before that first mediation. So that's the key. It's working with the lawyers. And think about it. Lawyers, most people hire a lawyer because they have assets. What's the most common asset? A house. And so even if it's 50% of the lawyer's clients who have a house, how many clients do the lawyer math? How many clients per month does that lawyer need to keep his business going, to pay his fixed costs, to pay his salaries, his overhead? And so you're looking at repeating referrals. The problem with the real estate marketing, mortgage marketing and real estate marketing, it repels lawyers. I am licensed in X number of states. I am top 1%. Those are real metrics, but they don't move the needle for lawyers and they actually feel too salesy. And what's so interesting is Housing Wire January 2023 article has a quote saying that 2023 is the skills-based market. And I completely agree. And in terms of presenting skills, you need the training and you need the credibility and you need with lawyers, you need to know what to say in what order. And that's the key thing we teach. So that's the secret sauce of our training. We teach you what to say to lawyers in the right order.
Now, I'm in North Carolina. Of course, we're a community property state, aka.
You're actually not. You're
equitable distribution.
Yes. So you're equitable distribution. There are only 9 community property states. I only know this because I've been researching it for 15 years.
So you're
equitable distribution. But yes, you have tenancy by the entirety. But you know who doesn't? Georgia. So I just find it so fascinating. So tenancy by the entirety. Here, let me give you a cool legal tip about North Carolina. Are you ready?
Yes.
So here's the marital perquisite of tenancy by the entirety in North Carolina. Because it's that legal fiction that each spouse individually owns the whole real property, the whole parcel, the whole house. If one spouse has an individual debt in North Carolina, that lien can't even record. That individual debt cannot record because the other spouse doesn't owe it.
But that only applies to
individual debt, individual debt, not purchase money.
So individual debt being unsecured like credit cards.
Yes, credit cards, medical debt, gambling debt. Yes.
Gambling debts, that kind of stuff.
Yes. So in individual debt, that creditor can garnish the debtor's wages and look for other assets that way.
But not the physical.
Not with tenancy, right. Tenancy by the entirety has marital perquisite. Now, Tennessee works differently. In Tennessee, the lien can record. It just can't foreclose until when? The second you're divorced, because then you're no longer tenants by the entirety. You learned this in pre-licensing, that you're tenants by the entirety until you're not married. And then it automatically converts to tenants in common. And then in Tennessee, they could foreclose. So I find that so fascinating. And everything I do is practically a 50-state survey. So once I find an issue, I have to start looking to see how is each state different.
So then in North Carolina, does our tenants by the entirety dissolve that divorce? Or that's only in Tennessee?
Yes. No, every state. So some things are multi-state and tenancy by the entirety, by definition, you have to be married. So let's say you cohabitated bought the house and then got married and did nothing to the deed. You are not tenants by the entirety because you weren't married when you were granted the property, when you paid for it and received the deed. So you can't be tenants by the entirety unless at the time the deed is created, you are married.
Okay, so that's different than one of our local real estate attorneys told me, who said that if you buy the house before you get married, and then when you get married, that new spouse automatically has half the property. And we've been taught this.
Okay. So that's a different issue. The tenancy is not tenants by the entirety unless you do a new deed. But because the new spouse can have a marital interest in that property. Okay. And this is interesting. And I'm a research nerd, kind of obvious. And so I find really interesting things to look for. And one case I found that wasn't a divorce, husband and wife were married. He had an individual debt. The creditor wanted to foreclose on their house because he owed the debt. And the court held, it was Tennessee actually, that because they weren't getting divorced, he did not have a marital interest. It was a separate house that the wife owned that he would have had a marital interest in if they were divorcing. But because they weren't divorcing, all those divorce statutes weren't triggered yet. So that house was saved because they weren't getting divorced. I just found that fascinating.
So I guess if the creditor was really on Lifetime Television for Women, he'd have tried to break up the marriage to get his money back. But
that would have worked, right? Because then that would trigger the divorce statutes in that state. So mortgage and all of those are legislated at the federal level, but divorce is legislated at the state level. And it's really run at the county level. And so there's a lot of layers to it, but there are quite a few multi-state trends, especially the differences between community property and equal distribution. And just to go back to our example, community property, a state like Arizona or California or Wisconsin's community property.
Really?
Is that they had an election in 1985. I'm like, oh, okay. So in community property states, any individual debt is a community debt during the marriage. And during the marriage, each spouse has a community interest in the property. So community property works significantly differently on the example we were just talking about.
So actually, community property is probably worse because of the application to liabilities. So we're better off being equitable distribution because the liabilities might not be exposed to both parties.
Individual, you're still individuals for your individual mess up. So if you cause a car accident,
I'm still going to stay married because it's just cheaper that way. All right. So
we have saved one marriage. We officially saved one marriage because it was so complicated. She was grew up with trusts, complicated assets like that. And it was easier to get him in substance abuse rehab than to figure out all the trust issues.
Oh,
we have officially saved one marriage. We're not promoting divorce. We just want to help people.
I know. And get out of it. My audience knows that. They know we're joking there a little bit, but they also know that we should work to preserve marriage. But if you look at how no-fault divorce has grown in so many different states, does that have an implication on the property distribution when it comes to these pieces?
Actually, no. And so this is another 50-state survey. In most states, fault does not affect the property you receive.
Okay.
In most states. But there are a few states that have some statutes where the court, if you go to trial, if you have the judge decide, you can mediate and decide what you want. But if you go to trial, there are some statutes that gives the judge deference to consider fault and change the property. So for example, if the court was traditionally going to do an equal split, it may be unequal if someone was at fault, but you would need a state statute to allow that to happen.
Whew. Okay. So obviously everybody needs to take your classes because this is so intense. If they take your class, but they're in Nevada and there's North Carolina laws and Wisconsin laws, how are you able to keep this specific to what their knowledge base needs to be, where they're practicing, or do you keep it more on the personal level of how to handle clients and setting expectations?
Our focus is helping real estate licensees and mortgage professionals work together to work with the right lawyer. So that's our focus. We also show you how to handle a client who has decided to sell or a client who needs to refinance. But the first step is how to work with that lawyer. And so what you and I have been talking about is crossing the line into the unauthorized practice of law. And I will say residential real estate has the same risks of unauthorized practice of law as divorce real estate. So I don't teach as specific as what we've been discussing because it would help. It would push agents in the wrong direction. So the number
every
one
agent should have on your list, excellent divorce attorney.
It's refer it out, right?
Absolutely give names out, be the source of the source. So carry on.
Well, we teach, we have a script. My scripts are really short. Sometimes they're barely scripts because less is more with lawyers. So we teach the agent how to ask the right questions, not give legal advice, even though she knows the answer. You learn plenty in pre-licensing that you're not allowed to advise clients on. You can't explain mortgage documents. You can't tell them, oh, you shouldn't be tenants in common. You should be tenants by the entirety. That would be the unauthorized practice of law. But you have to understand it to get your real estate license. So what we do is, number one, teach you what goes wrong in divorce real estate, what goes wrong in divorce mortgage on that side, why it matters, because if you don't understand why it matters, you can't convince anyone else that they're in financial danger, and then when it matters. That's the core of our substance. But the secret sauce for us is a 15-minute presentation to help you land the right lawyers that you want to work with. And think about it. How many new clients per month do these lawyers need to stay in business? What if you were on high on their referral list? What if they wanted all of their clients who are thinking about keeping the house to talk to you first? That effort that you put into cold calling and for sale by owner, you can put that same effort into landing one divorce lawyer, which could be repeating referrals month after month. So that same effort can be more of a higher return on your effort investment.
Obviously, we could talk about this for days because it's a fascinating niche to focus on. And I think it's very important for real estate and mortgage professionals to know about this, because as we go into a transitioning economic market, we know that just highlights financial concerns. So if they're interested in this training, what's the best way for them to find the information?
Our website is divorcethishouse.com, and we have our realtor information and our mortgage information on that homepage.
Wonderful. All right, guys. So all of the links and the contact information are in the show notes for this episode. Can't wait to hear what y'all think of the training. So leave some comments here, give some likes if you appreciate that this information is available to you. And thank you so much for coming on the show to give us some insights. And I feel like I'm better educated about my own state now in just this few minutes together. So I appreciate you for that.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, you know what to do. Hit the bell for more.
We'll see you next time.
Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism, and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.